Brutal Battle!
Thank you for joining us. This is episode 4 of Brutal Battle.
Yay!
Alright, this is Carlin, and over here is...
Where?
Over there.
Oh, over here is Kyle.
Kyle's sitting to my right. No one can see us, but he's sitting to my right.
No, I'm not. I'm sitting on your... never mind.
He's omnipresent. He's everywhere.
Yes, omnipotent.
So, I guess right off the bat, I want to talk about something really quick. If anyone listened to the third episode, at the very end, there was something that said that our podcast has been a Nerd Circle podcast production. That's actually a production company that we're working with at the moment. This podcast and another one I'm working on and other ones for people that I know, we're all going to be under that umbrella, so that's why you're hearing that. So this is a perfect time for me to quickly plug the other one that's in the works right now. It's not out yet, but it will be out probably within a few weeks. It is called Bone Throwers Theater, and it is...
That sounds like a B-rated porno flick.
I will give you that. It does. But it's about the bones, you know, dice. Bones
isn't dice. I know, but bone also means...
It does.
Yeah.
But it's an RPG podcast, which is probably something you could get into, Kyle.
I love role-playing games. I'm a role-playing game fanatic, freak, obsessed with role-playing games.
It's in the same vein as, like, Dungeons & Dragons, but... What we did is we created our own world, its own history, all that kind of stuff, and it's futuristic, so it's not medieval times, which is what most people think of. It's like medieval fantasy is what most people think of for D&D. This is a lot different. So even if people don't like D&D, if you like fantasy type stuff, or like futuristic and fantasy type stuff, you might like that. So anyway, that's me plugging it. Let's get into beer-related talk, which... The obligatory question that I want to have on every episode, Kyle, have you had anything, any beers recently that you really like or really don't like and you would like to talk about?
Yes. I actually had a lot of beer since last recording because our local beer store started doing mixed sixers, as you well know.
Is that Wine World?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a bunch, but I won't spill all the beans. I'll just say that... one I had, which I've had before, but I just wanted to, I was in the mood for a really good, solid stout, high ABV, you know, a good, nice drink, winter drink. It's not summer, what am I talking about? But it was 10-50, and I got a 4-pack of that, because unfortunately that doesn't apply with the mixed sixer or whatever, but yeah, it was delicious, but I bought a lot of beer at the time, so I got my receipt, whatever, went home, and I didn't realize till I got home, I was kind of looking at it, that... For a 4-pack of 10-50, which is made by Oster Blues, it's a 10.5% alcohol stout, it was $16.49.
And that's... I've had that beer before, and I love it. It's great.
It's great. It's one of my favorite stouts, honestly.
It's for people who are into stouts, too.
Yeah. It's a stout drinker stout.
It is like... It pours like motor oil.
And the head is like a milkshake. I mean, it's so thick and creamy and... Oh.
And it's a thick beer. Yeah. Like I said, it pours like motor oil, so when you're drinking it, it's just thick. Mm-hmm. But it has such a satisfying maltiness to it.
Oh, it's so good.
And, I mean, what's the ABV on it? I think you just said, like, 10? Around 10?
It shows you how much I paid. It's 10-50, dummy.
Oh, well,
10-50.
Well, I actually didn't know why they called it that. You just educated me, so there you go.
You learn something new every day.
But that price point seems...
That's insane.
...wrong to me.
I regularly pay $9.99 for a 4-pack of 90 Minute, because I love that beer. And I thought that was the most expensive beer I drank regularly. And I got $16.50 for a 4-pack. It's insane. It's over $4 a beer. You go to the bar and pay that.
Yeah, I didn't think that the $10.50 was that much. I know that their Gubna... Have you had their Gubna?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's an Imperial IPA.
Yeah.
Gubna. And that comes in 4-pack cans. That's Oscar Blues, by the way. That comes in 4-pack cans, and that's $15.99. I know that much. But that's because there's a ton of hops in that.
Yeah.
So that pushes the price up.
Maybe it's something to do with that.
I don't know.
What's with 4-packs, man? Why are you shorting those two beers?
Well, I think
Why are you shorting us two beers? No. Don't justify it. Give me my other two beers, man.
I hear you.
Especially if I'm paying $17.
But let me play devil's advocate for a second. Or actually, it won't be so much devil's advocate as liquor store advocate. And brewery advocate.
Liquor store advocate, all right.
From the standpoint of someone like you or I, we would pay for a six-pack of something like 10-50.
Or a four-pack.
But a lot of people, it would probably scare them away if they had an actual six-pack of it, because with the price point that you're buying it at, it'd push it over $20 exactly. for a six-pack.
Crap.
Yeah, that's... I mean, it's insane, because people will look at that and be like, 20-some bucks for a six-pack, no way.
I would have said that if I saw that it was $16.50 when I bought it. I would have been like, what the hell?
So... That brings up another question. Are you an impulse beer buyer then? Do you not usually look at prices?
I don't usually look at prices, no. But right. at the same time, I have a beer in my head. I want it. I just grab it and I go. I don't really say, oh, this one's a dollar less. Maybe I should get that. I don't care. If I want it, I buy it, done.
That's actually the way I operate too.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll look at prices. If it's something that I'm kind of like, I might want it. But I don't really know how I feel, then I'll kind of look at the price. But usually if I'm like, this is one I wanted to try, I don't even look. I'm grabbing it. Except when it's something like Duclos Divine Retribution, which came out recently.
Yeah.
And that's
that's pricey.
Yeah. That's, I believe, it's a bourbon, oak bourbon barrel aged Imperial Stout. And it's, what is the... I think it's around like 12-13 ABV, and it was like $27-28.
I'm sure you talk a lot about Duclos.
I mean, Duclos is actually just minutes down the street from me.
I can walk there.
Yeah.
Both can. Yeah.
You have that luxury. That's a wonderful luxury.
It is. I've never walked home drunk from Duclos, but never say never.
It's something that could happen soon.
I wanted stout, like I said, and that was it. I was going to a friend's house. We were gonna go play board games, again, role playing game dork speaking. So it was between that and Allagash Black, and I was like, I don't want a bomber because that's like a beer and a half or whatever. So I got I got 10-50.
And never bad choice.
And my wallet got raped.
there was a tax that recently was added to all alcohol purchases.
True.
But interestingly enough, the alcohol industry is not something that experiences downturn in profits when the economy does.
No, if anything, it goes up because everyone's depressed, unemployed.
Yeah, people are like, "Oh, this economy's terrible. It sucks. I need to go drown my sorrows."
I don't do that. If I'm depressed, the last thing I want is a beer because that's just gonna make me more depressed.
Well, and that's a good point, because beer is technically a depressant.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's really what it
is. I drink when I'm happy. I drink when the Ravens are going to the AFC Championship. That's why my voice is shot, because I was screaming my butt off on Saturday. But that's a different story. I won't get into that. Yeah. I know you love football.
I'm not a football fan.
Blasphemy.
I'll usually have it on as like background.
Oh, well, that's good.
So then if something goes on that's worthy of...
I didn't know that. I thought you just shunned it completely.
No, actually, I usually put it on, and then I just, you know, if something great happens, or like, a big play or a fight or whatever, then I look up. I'm mainly a hockey guy, and actually...
I am too.
I will say that hockey is now going to start.
Yes, I can't wait.
Very soon, so I'm really excited. But
so excited.
Part of the problem for me with getting into football is I was down with football when I was young, and I would watch... Like, my team was the Browns when I was young. My dad's
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
But at least... They don't... My team was the Lions. I mean, talk about... like Barry Sanders growing up. They were terrible.
But Barry Sanders was amazing.
He was amazing, yeah. He was
I was a fan of, Cleveland, and I watched a lot of college football, too. Ohio State was my team. That's where my dad went to college, so I was all about that. But then, I was also into baseball when I was young, too. And I look back now, and I'm like, how did I have the patience then
exactly.
to watch a whole baseball game, and I don't now?
I'm not I can't do baseball. Unless if I go to the game, Camden Yards is a great stadium, the Orioles.
Yeah.
You know, they had a good year or whatever. I can watch it then, but if I'm on TV, I put baseball on to fall asleep too.
Right. Because
it's so quiet and like monotone and just, it's just, yeah, I fall asleep.
I agree with that. I've done that before too. But, you know, I went from watching those kinds of sports, and then I got into hockey when I got into college, and now, and then I got like really into hockey after getting out of college, and hockey's so fast-paced,
mm-hmm.
and there's always stuff going on. Like, the puck's never stopping, pretty much. So, after being exposed to that and just watching that all the time, I go back to something like football, and I'm like, oh, there's too much time in between there downs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I go to baseball, and I'm like, how long do you need between pitches?
The guy has to step out of the box, readjust his gloves, readjust his bat, kick the dirt off his boots, swing a couple times, then get back in the box. It's like, well, you really need to do that between every pitch.
And then also the pitcher needs to lick his fingers and adjust his hat. And
make sure his glove's nice and oiled and scratch his crotch and spit his chew. And
yep, all of the above.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, yeah. I've lost patience for...
I can see that.
I've lost patience for sports for that reason.
That's so why you DVR sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because between the end of this play and then the start, the hike of the next play, it's usually exactly 30 seconds. So DirecTV, you go 30 seconds ahead, boom, the next play. That's over. 30 seconds ahead, boom.
Right.
It's just like constant action. Actually, so pretty cool.
So then let me tie this all back to beer.
Yeah, beer.
What would you say is your favorite beer to drink while watching the Ravens?
Huh. That's hard. I don't know. Usually, if I'm at home, I'm drinking whatever I have. If I'm at the bar, they have 60 Minute on tap, which is a fine beer for me.
That's a great staple.
Yes.
Whenever you go somewhere.
It's the 60 Minute. I can drink and be perfectly happy. I like it. It's not 90, but it's, if you're sitting there for 4 hours, you don't be counting 90 because you'll be on the floor after about two. So.
And
yeah, 60 minutes.
Even worse if 120 is available.
Oh man,
you can't.
I know. That's another thing I was thinking about. Because how much is 120 a bottle? Is 1050 even more than 120? Come on.
Yeah, I don't know, but what I do, what that makes me think of is
that was too many numbers. 1050, 120, 450.
60. I had purchased the Worldwide Stout by Dogfish Head.
That's a vicious beer.
It's like 10. It was like $10 for a 12-ounce. Bottle. Yeah,
it's,
which,
that, talking about drinking like motor oil, that stuff, I didn't, drinks like,
I actually didn't like, whew, it.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
I didn't like it at all.
Mm-mm.
And that's kind of like my issue. Like, I love Dogfish Head, but I hate Dogfish Head.
That stuff drinks like Hershey syrup.
Basically. I mean, like the, yeah, the consistency, basically.
Yeah.
But it's,
car.
My grievance with Dogfish Head is that when they do big beers, they go too big, mm-hmm. on the alcohol, yeah. and they don't properly balance it with flavor.
Yeah, so you get that heat. You get that kind of like that hot alcohol burn.
Well, and even if you've had a few of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, like when you start drinking beer, a lot of times you're tasting the alcohol right mm-hmm. up front. And then as you have more beer,
which
your palate
mind
gets
necessarily.
Used to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So same then, with bitterness from hops. You know, your palate, you know, gets used to the bitterness. It kind of numbs it out or whatever.
Yeah, but then, you know, when you continue drinking, you're not really getting the alcohol as much. You're tasting the mm-hmm. complexities of the beer.
Because you're drunk.
Well, not because you're drunk, because your palate's used to the alcohol flavor.
I'm just kidding.
So, but these Dogfish Head beers, like ones like Fort, their Fort beer is their like 18% alcohol beer brewed with raspberries, pureed raspberries.
Fort?
It's F-O-R-T is how it's spelled.
Fort.
I don't think it's available right now.
I
don't
know if I've had that one.
I had that and I hated it because
they have some awful beers.
Even after I had had enough tastes and I should have been used to the alcohol flavor, I wasn't. That's all I was. No, not all, but it was almost all I was getting. And that's just, yeah. So when they're more restrained with their, or I'm sorry, I guess I should say when they practice constraint mm-hmm. with their alcohol volume, their beers are really good.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't, I hate them.
I have a love-hate, not a love-hate, but with Palo Santo, and I know you don't like that beer. I really do like that beer, but sometimes I'm just not in the mood for it. I crack one, take two sips, and I'm just like, uh-oh, I can't handle this right now, because that's a beastly beer.
Yeah.
Palo Santo's It's like oaky goodness. I mean, it's like being a beaver for a day.
That is actually
so woody.
That is actually one that I do not care for.
I know. Yeah, I know you don't like it. I mean, it's not oaky goodness. It's Palo's the freaking woody, whatever the hell, Santo Palo wood stuff thing.
Yeah, but yeah.
Anyway. This is petering out. Come on.
No, I was okay. I was gonna jump into one other thing.
One other thing.
And that is, I think maybe two episodes ago we had talked about the macro beers. We talked about AB mm-hmm. and Bev, Anheuser-Busch yeah. and Bev taking over Goose Island.
Right.
So I kind of thought it was would be interesting to make a list of a few beers that are owned by AB and Bev and Miller Coors that people may not know are owned by them, just
yeah,
to kind of
so
educate.
Up.
So to
because
educate
this will unnecessarily bias you from buying these beers.
Well, not necessarily, because I want to read you the list, and then I want to get your take on this.
Okay. I'll shield my eyes. Surprise me.
Yeah. Miller Coors.
Mm-hmm.
Beers that they own that you might not know they own: Peroni, Grolsch, Pilsner Urquell, Blue Moon, Killian's, Leinenkugel's, Foster's, and Molson. And the ones that AB InBev owns that you might not know, obviously we had said Goose Island before, Corona, Beck's, Hoegaarden, Bass, Labatt, Spaten, Franciscaner, Michelob, Shock Top, Modelo, and Löwenbräu.
Interesting.
So, I mean, were there any on that list that were particularly surprising to you?
I didn't know AB InBev owned Corona, honestly. I figured someone did, because, I mean, they right. are like the, you know, the macro...
We can get them
Cerveza, in. I guess, if you want to call it, which really isn't, but...
You can get them anywhere,
yeah.
pretty much.
Yeah, that's true.
And Modelo, I believe, was a pretty
yeah,
recent
that was,
acquisition.
Yeah, that's surprising, honestly.
I think they got them in the last
Although I'm a Dos Equis Amber boy. I love that Dos Equis. Two limes in there. Mmm. Dos Equis Amber. It's such a... I haven't had that in a while, actually. That's a beer that, like, since my palate has gone on and I've gotten into more, you know, microbrew and some interesting beers, I've gone back to that and it still holds up, you know, and that's rare for me. Yeah, I think so.
Very cool. Yeah, I had a stint with Dos Equis when I was in college, but I had a stint with a lot of things when I was in college, such as, I don't know, drinking hard liquor, like having a stint with White Russians, and then I had one with rum and coke, and I had one with gin and tonic, and all that kind of stuff. But I don't really drink hard liquor anymore.
Whiskey, baby. I drink as much whiskey as I do beer, if not more.
I
so
can't.
If you want to do a whiskey podcast, you let me know, man.
No, it's okay. You'd have to be on your own for that.
I drink Rittenhouse 100 rye whiskey, and it is amazing, especially for the price point. It is fabulous.
Cool.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, I mean, in future podcasts, if you want to let people know what whiskeys you've been drinking, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I know a lot.
You go ahead and do that.
I like some bourbon, some whiskey, some ryes.
Cool. I will say that some time ago, I went back to... just a small taste of liquor, and it was terrible. It was the Pinnacle Swedish Fish tasting.
Ew.
It was terrible. It's so gross. I don't even know why I did it, but never again. Anyway, you're going to say something about the macros?
I just think it's funny that the Miller Coors, all the beers they own, I can't stand.
Oh,
so
really?
That's really interesting.
Okay.
I hate every single one of those beers.
Well, honestly...
I haven't had Killian's in a while.
Yeah.
That would probably be the only one I might say that I don't despise... but the AB InBev, I mean, I don't mind Corona. I don't mind Bass all that much. I mean, I don't love it, but I don't mind it.
Well, it's funny because I look at this and I can kind of chart my early on drinking when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my experiences of branching out from stuff like, you know, Bud Light and Miller Light and stuff
yeah.
like that. And, like, Killian's. I think Killian's was one of the first beers that got me into something different.
Yeah.
And then
Yingling for me.
Yeah, and I you know, I remember liking Foster's and liking Labatt, Corona for a stint, Bass, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I like Corona, man. I got nothing against Corona. I'm going up on the podium. I actually don't mind Michelob.
Okay. That was my grandfather's drink of choice.
I know it tastes like nothing, but that's kind of like the genius behind it, you know? It's like, if you're drinking just to, if you're like a, out on the boat, or I wouldn't even say out on the boat. Usually it's like at a bar and they don't have anything better. I'll just get a Michelob. Like, that's my awful beer of choice. It's the best of the worst, I guess, is a good way to put it.
That's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I won't judge you on that, because actually I'll say that's totally fine, because that was my grandfather's drink of choice and he was a very good man.
Mm, that's cool.
But yeah, you know, I look at this and like Blue Moon is probably the first thing that got me into different types of beers, like a wheat, which mm-hmm. I feel like wheats are what really start people potentially getting into micros. Yeah. And then Hoegaarden was my next step wheats from Blue Moon.
Reds. Or... So. I can't stand Blue Moon.
But we've been talking about all these beers and that's making me thirsty.
Yeah, man. What it's making you? Me so thirsty.
Just to...
I'm feeling quite parched.
Well, let's get a beer in there.
Oh, man. Let's put a beer in your face hole.
So, just to, you know, refresh everyone, our current Broverlord beer, King of the Hill beer.
Our current Master Broverlord.
If you want to say that. is Founders Breakfast Stout with a 6.5.
So. Yes, because you undercut it because you're...
And I was embarrassed. Yep. We talked about that.
But we did talk about how, you know, we're hesitant to give high scores and all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we want to
Because we don't want to give something a 9 or 10 right out of the back, then we'll have nothing to... Right. Nothing's going to compete, so...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if one of these beers peaks.
All right, baby.
Let's start by sniffing A.
Oh,
let's
man.
Let's go for it.
That's not the other thing I want to sniff.
Well, we can say that it looks very straw. It's very, you know...
Yeah, that's what has me worried.
Yellow, strawish. Well, because the last...
It's golden. I mean, it's got a nice gold... I mean, I wouldn't say it's yellow. It's got some gold in there.
A little hazy-ish.
Yeah, a little bit. Not immediately transparent, but fairly close to it.
Well, because the last thing we had, like, this was that, like, Sunset West.
Oh, gosh, don't remind me.
One we gave a one to.
That's literally one of the worst beers I've ever had.
So,
that wasn't a complete homebrew failure.
It's a little scary looking at the color, because it's the same, pretty much. Well, let's take a whiff.
A little bit of lacing.
Ooh, no, not... I get that same kind of smell.
Yeah, like lemon peel, coriander kind of thing.
But there's this... Oh, man. I don't know what that smell is. It's the underlying smell that you get for all these kind of adjunct beers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It smells like it's an adjunct. And for people who don't know what adjuncts are, it's basically when beers are brewed with something other than malt and hops. Mm-hmm. They use, like, corn.
Corn, yeah. That's
or like, sometimes rice.
Big offender. Yeah, rice, too.
So,
Say no sake.
All right, well, I mean, we're getting a little bit of honey. You know, this is very similar to that Sunset West mm-hmm. in smell. So
I can tell I'm not going to like this, just by the way it smells.
Probably not.
But, I mean, I'm going to say that a lot, just because I know what I like and I don't.
All right, let's just bottom take up, it to the not as
actually,
bad.
It tastes better than I thought it would.
I mean, the nose makes it seem like it's going to be horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's not great.
I honestly think this is one of those moments where I just had dinner before I came over, and my palate has kind of been prepped for something like this. So, actually, this isn't that bad, honestly.
I mean, there's not a whole lot there either.
No, but, I mean, this is, apparently, I can tell by the body and the color that this is a beer that's not trying to go in your face with a bunch of... Bunch of complexity.
Yeah. I'm thinking lager on this.
Yeah.
Thinking lager for sure. I mean, everything points to that. But, not, I mean, not so good. But not the
it's
worst.
Okay. This is honestly, the more I drink it, the worse it gets, which is kind of weird. Think it would be the other way around?
I'd say this is a beer that you could convince me to drink if I was dehydrated outside.
Dehydrated? Yeah, and beer always.
Because it's watery.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say.
Okay, so I want to put that down.
Yep.
I definitely want to put that down.
Yes. That was
pretty
bad.
What would you say about the color of B?
A little bit more amber.
Definitely.
Obviously. I mean, it's basically red. It looks like Killian's.
It's got a bit of like a light toffee hue.
Mm-hmm. True.
I would say.
Yeah, maybe. A bit. Maybe like... strongly brewed iced tea or something like that.
And the smell. Actually get some hops.
Yeah. Sweet. It's very sweet smelling.
Yeah, it is sweet smelling. I get... What else am I getting out of that? I'm just getting...
Just the tone you said. What am I getting out of this?
Well, I'm trying to breathe in at the same time, and it's...
Oh, yeah, I'm getting... It smells like beer, man. I don't know. I'm struggling with descriptors for this one, as yeah, are you.
Too. I mean, I'm just sweet. Getting... I'm getting, like, this little... A little bit of a raisiny nose
almost
to it.
Like a sweet dried fruit kind of thing going on.
Definitely. Good point. Dried fruit. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. You want to try it?
Yeah, I really... Again, this one has, I'd say, about as much lacing as the other one. A little bit more foamy head, a little bit thicker, but honestly, the heads are about the same color. Maybe this one's a little darker, but they're both pretty off-whitish. All right, bottoms up.
It's got, like, this faintest oranginess to the finish.
Ugh.
You don't like that?
No.
I mean, this isn't this isn't something I'd go back to.
No.
But...
That's not good. That's got, like, a bitterness that... I don't think it doesn't. Usually, a beer that's, you know, nondescript, a little bit of hoppiness will add something to it. I think the bitterness in this detracts from it, honestly.
I could see that. I could see that because it kind of, you kind of get the fruit.
Just that no, you it get sits the small, on your tongue afterwards. It's just kind of like
yeah, it sits not so well. It's like the fruit, a little bit of fruitiness up front, like you were saying, like the dried fruit kind of tastes a little bit of raisiny in it. Yeah. But not like overly raisiny, but and some hops, a little bit of hops, nothing crazy. But then it just sinks to this overall bitterness sitting in your mouth.
Yeah. Honestly, after taking a sip and then going back to smell it again, the raisin's definitely more pronounced now.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't, like I said, this isn't something I'd go back to on my own.
There's even a little bit of alcohol in the nose, I think.
I would say, though, it's definitely better than A.
Mm. I'm going to have a hard time rating both of these because...
I'm going to go back.
Yeah. A and B both... Neither of them float my boat.
Oh, God. Go back to A now. Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Oh, man. Tastes like a wet sock.
That is actually a very good descriptor.
It does. It tastes like...
It, oh my
like
god,
if I went
does.
To football practice and then rang out my socks in my mouth.
It, I mean, obviously you've not tasted a wet sock, but it...
How do you know?
It tastes the way a wet sock smells.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Like, when that smell gets into your mouth via your nose, and that happens. Alright, I don't see any reason to delay rating these right now. So what do you want to give A? Do you have any thoughts? I'll take the lead on that.
Yeah, you can go. I was first.
I'm going with 2. I'm going to do a 2.
I'm going to parallel that assessment and also give it a 2. I'm not going to, like, say it's dog vomit or anything, but it's a step above that.
Okay. So, overall rating of 2, obviously.
2.
And then, B, what do you want to give B? I'm taking another sip of B.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. 3 for me.
Yep.
You going to do the same?
Yep. Those are the 2 numbers I had in mind before we even started talking.
Oh, man. I think that our palates are closer than I thought, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, no. You said...
Or maybe just crappy beer is crappy beer. Yeah.
That is true, too. Crap is crap. No matter what color or flavor or texture.
So, let me... Do you have any guesses on these? I mean, obviously neither of these are the new Brewer Lord.
I don't know what they are. I have no idea. I would just be doing myself a disservice if I threw a... brewery out there.
Okay.
I have no clue.
Well, as per usual, we will reveal the worst one for
the reveal.
So A, the one that we gave an overall rating of 2 is...
2 is...
Ballast Point Pale Ale.
I was going to say Pale Ale instead of Lager, but you know that's more about styles than I do, so I was like,
that's a
okay,
pale...
sure, Lager.
Well,
I was going to say Pale Ale, but...
It says it's a Pale Ale, but I'm going to go ahead and say that in my book this is a Lager, because there's no hops in there.
No. Zip.
That is garbage beer.
That's poop beer. Ballast Point, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Ballast
Point. Are you listening to this?
And that kind of ticks me off because we just got Ballast Point in Maryland.
Oh, we did.
Recently.
Lovely. So we should be seeing more of this crap. Mmm. Can't wait. Yum, 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 yum.
So not so good. So Ballast Point.
Yeah,
and
2.
Then
I'd say 2 is bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Then the better one at a 3.
The better one.
You want to guess on this one? No? Yeah? No?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
We'll just reveal. B was Lancaster Brewing Company's Hop Hog IPA.
That is funny, because I actually really like their beer that they make with the place and the thing. And Lancaster makes with the milk stouts decent.
Oh yeah, their milk stouts are very
nice. I think that's the one I was thinking about. Yeah, their milk stout. It just isn't bad, you know. And milk stouts can be, that's a genre of, or not a genre, but like a type of beer that it can be hit or miss in the most extreme case. Because it's either really good or really terrible, like a sour milk catastrophe.
I agree. This is surprising to me because I've had Hop Hog in the past and it tasted pretty good. I remember enjoying it. It did not taste like this.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're not just not making it the way they used to. Maybe we got a bad bottle. Maybe this bottle's too old.
I honestly, that batch to batch, you know, recipe changes. It's not like they go put that on their label, new recipe or anything. They get it.
Well, if you want to look at this battle as East versus West, Hop Hog's from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, and the Ballast Point Pale Ale is from San Diego, California. Hmm. So East Coast.
East Coast represent up in here.
Basically.
San Diego is much cooler because it has better weather and pretty ladies and lots of tacos.
Lots of tacos.
Yeah.
I will say this, though. Green Flash is from San Diego. Mm. And Green Flash is awesome.
I've never had anything by Green Flash.
But that's a topic for another time.
For another episode.
Yes.
Of Brutal Battle.
So to recap.
Yeah.
Real fast. Founders Breakfast Stout still on top.
Of course.
Rating a 6.5.
Killing it, son. Killing it.
If we keep getting stuff like this, it's going to be up there forever. Yeah. But that's okay, because it's a good beer.
Yeah. Isn't this interesting, everyone? Drinking crap. Isn't it fun?
We'll get to
Aren't you having a good time? I hope whoever's listening to this is drunk right now. Because I'm probably a lot more funny.
We're going to get to that point where we're going to get stuff where we're going to say, oh yeah, this is awesome. I would like to have another one. So
I can't wait. I want to see you lose your poo over a beer. I can't wait, because you're so reserved about your judgment. I can't wait until you're like, this is amazing!
At some point, it's going to happen.
I hope so.
And maybe that's next episode. And on that note, thank you everyone for joining us, everyone who did join us.
Gracias.
And see you next time.
Peace.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.